Good morning. My name is Paul. I am one of the pastors. I'm the father of those five boys that Rach just talked about. It's been a long night and an early morning. But we're here to adore Jesus. I love the lyrics of that carol, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." It says, "O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." It's an invitation to adore Jesus. It's an invitation to marvel at Jesus, an invitation to revere him and to worship him, to wonder at him. I love that word wonder. The word wonder is a kind of a jaw-dropping moment. Now, can you imagine what it felt like to see the first man walking on the moon? What, wow! Well, that feeling when, if you ever had a child, to hold your newborn child, you just go, wow. Or maybe you've unboxed your first iPhone, and you just go, wow. See, Christmas is a wow moment. Christmas is a wow moment. We're supposed to adore Jesus. I love the true story of a family on Christmas Eve, and every Christmas Eve, Mum and the kids would go to church, but Dad would stay at home. So there's Dad at home, and he's pondering how stupid Christmas is. A baby in a manger surrounded by animals, how stupid is that? Why would an all-powerful God bother to become a man? How stupid is that? If God wanted to come down, he'd chosen some other way. Christmas is just stupid, he says. And suddenly there's a tap at the window. There's a little bird outside in the snow, tapping at the window, wanting to get inside. And so the dad has compassion on this bird, and he wants to invite the bird into the warmth of his garage. And so this man, this dad, goes outside into the snow. But the bird just flies away. He's scared of the man. And so the dad gets these trail of bits of bread to try and coax the bird into the warmth of the garage, but the bird just flies away into the snow, freezing cold. And the dad is getting more and more angry, saying, "Come on, bird, I'm trying to help you. I'm not here to harm you, I'm here to help you." But the bird is just scared, doesn't understand. And this dad just shouts out, it's a true story, "If only I could just become a bird for a second. If I could just become a bird and speak his language, then he would understand I'm trying to help him." And suddenly the dad understands Christmas for the first time. He says, "I get it. God didn't come to harm us, but to help us. He came down and spoke our language. He became human so that we would understand." And there in the snow, he knelt down and said, "Oh God, I get it now. You became one of us so that we could understand. God, you wanted to help us, not harm us. Now I get it." I want to ask this morning, do you get it? Do you understand why Christmas is a wow moment? Do you understand why we adore Jesus? Do you understand when we sing, "He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all"? Do you understand when we sing, "Word of the Father now in flesh appearing"? Do you understand this verse from John 1, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us"? Do you understand that? That's what I'm trying to do this morning, to help you understand. I've got three words to help you understand why we adore Jesus. The first word is incarnation. God came down. The Word became flesh. John's Gospel is one of four accounts of the birth of Jesus. But in John's Gospel, there is no mention of Bethlehem. There's no mention of Mary, Joseph, the inn, the animals, the manger, the shepherds, or the angels. There's no mention of a star. There's no mention of wise men or even a baby. Because John takes us back in history, beyond Bethlehem. He pulls back the curtain to the story that we could not know if you just looked at Mary and Joseph and the baby, and it's awe-inspiring. John 1:1 on the screen, in the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. So Jesus was there at the beginning. There never is a time when Jesus was not. His life did not begin at Bethlehem. He's always existed. Christmas is just the moment where Jesus enters our world, our universe. The Word was with God and the Word was God. There's no way around that, is there? It's pretty clear Jesus was, is, and always will be fully God. So Jesus is not just godly, he's not just a good man or a great teacher, he is God. He's not just a prophet like Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses claim, he is God. And that's why we adore him. We don't just admire him, we adore him, we don't just wonder at him, we worship him because he's God. The teaching of Jesus is not there to ponder and to appreciate, it's to be obeyed, because what Jesus says, God says. If you read the Gospels, Jesus does what only God can do. He calms a storm, he heals the sick, he forgives sins, he raises the dead. Only God can do that. Keeps going, through him, verse 3, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, he created everything. Everything that exists was created by Jesus. From the galaxies to the golden sands, from the shooting stars to the smell of coffee, from the elephant to the amoeba, he created everything. And we're supposed to go, wow, how big is Jesus? How powerful is Jesus? You know, in space there are 15 million galaxies. And on the clearest of nights, with your naked eye, you could see about 2,500 stars, which is 0.00000000000001% of all there is to see. How powerful is this Jesus that we worship? Powerful yet precise, because he created the tiniest and most intricate of insects. There were 800,000 catalogued insects, and he created every single one. Powerful, precise, and personal, because if Jesus created all things, it means he created you and created me. The Bible says we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, created by Jesus perfectly. Jesus chose what you would look like and what your personality would be. That means that I believe there's people here today who really need to appreciate that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of Jesus. That's how John starts, and it's utterly extraordinary. The Word became flesh. This God, this eternal creator God, became flesh. God came down. I'm not saying that God was born at Christmas. He's always existed. I'm not saying Jesus came into existence at Christmas. He's always existed. But Christmas is the moment, the life-changing moment where God chose to leave heaven and come to earth. The infinite became finite. The invisible became visible. That's why we adore him. Number two is the word revelation. Revelation. God made himself known. He ever said, if only I could see God. How do I know God exists if I can't see him? How do I know what he's like? The Russian astronaut Yuri Gagarin, who went into space in 1961, he famously said this, I didn't see any God out there. But Christmas shouts, God isn't out there. He's down here. He's down here. God came down. He didn't send a textbook. He didn't send a selfie. He sent himself. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus reveals what God is like. It's a bit cheesy, but Jesus in history means God's not a mystery. Jesus in history means God is not a mystery. So we're not in the dark anymore about what our God is like. No one can say, I like to think God is like this. We haven't got that. Because God has shown us what he is like in the person of Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. His glory, His majesty, His bigness, His splendor, not in the building, but in the person of Jesus. I missed out on the glory of the Sydney Olympics in 2000. I lived in Sydney in 1999, and I came back in 2002. I just missed out. And so I personally, I read about the Olympics, and I watched the Olympics on TV, but I wasn't there. I didn't experience face-to-face. I didn't see Kathy Freeman light that torch or run the 400 meters. But John says, I was there. I did see His glory. And that's what distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. Other religions have ideas about what God is like, theories about what God is like, but Christianity says God came down and God showed us what He is like. And if you want to understand what God is like, just read the Bible. Just read one of those Gospels on your chair this morning. Read what Jesus was like. Jesus was compassionate. That's what God is like. Jesus saw people in need and had this gut-wrenching longing to help. That's what God is like. God sat with those who were suffering. That's what God is like. God chooses people that the world ignores. That's what God is like. God forgives people. That's what God is like. We're supposed to look at Jesus and say, that's what my God is like. We've seen His glory. The one who comes full of grace and truth, the one who speaks truth, who reveals truth. I still remember reading the Bible for the first time, age 20. And I was just blown away that this is what God is like. Loving, kind, compassionate, gracious, merciful, and forgiving. So the incarnation, God came down. Revelation, God made Himself known. Lastly, relationship, God loves us. We adore Him because God loves us. Imagine a king coming to a country and we expect a king to come in a palace with massive walls and big gates saying, keep out, I'm different, I'm special, you can't come near me. But that's not Jesus. He comes in humility as a baby to become one of us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. Literally, that is, He pitched a tent amongst us. It's like He turns up in your backyard. And if someone pitches a tent in your backyard, they're saying, I want to be near you. I want to hang out with you. I want to share my life with you. Let's live together. And God came down and says, let's live together. Let's hang out together. I want to be near you. I want to know you. Full of grace. Love that phrase, grace. God's unmerited favor, God's undeserved love. God just says, I love you. That's why I came. And I love the fact that God has come down because it means that He understands. He gets it. Remember the story of the farmer who's trying to sell those puppies and they're quite expensive and he puts a sign up saying, puppies for sale. And there's six puppies and this little boy comes with a dollar and says, I'd like a puppy. And the farmer has compassion on him and says, okay, you can choose whatever puppy you want. And five puppies come running out. And then this last sixth puppy comes slowly dragging his back legs. And the little boy says, I want that puppy. I want the runt of the litter. And the farmer says, but he won't be able to run fast like you. And the little boy sort of pulls up his trouser leg and reveals a metal caliper on his leg, because the little boy has got polio. And he says to the farmer, that's why I want him, because I can't run fast either. I want him because he'll understand me. And that is Christmas. Jesus comes to say, I understand you. I've been here. I've lived life. I've suffered. I've experienced hurt and heartache and harm, suffering, sadness and sorrows and pain and poverty. I've experienced it all. We don't have a God who is distant and doesn't understand. We've got a God who's come down and fully understands. Now, this year I have sat with grieving people and I've wept with them. I've celebrated weddings and rejoiced with them. I've seen people depressed, burdened, bankrupt. fearful, lonely, disappointed, facing injustice, all the emotions that I've gone through the whole spectrum. And I can sit with them, and I can cry with them, and I can encourage them. But the best thing that I can do is to point them to Jesus. Because he's the only one who fully understands. I love the Christmas card of two little old ladies, and they are both in their 80s, and they're both spinsters, and live on an old farm in deep south Tennessee, and the farm is a total dump. The chicken coop is falling down, the barn is falling down, there's rusty machinery. There's a lovely picture of two old ladies. They're stiff and they're smiling, and they say this: Merry Christmas. God is with us in our mess. And that for me is Christmas. God is with us in our mess. Life is messy. We'll still have messed up families and messed up marriages and messed up lives, but Jesus is with us and he loves us. He gets us. He understands. He wants a relationship with you. So that's why we adore him. Because he's come down. He's revealed God to us. And he's shown us just how much he loves us. So I do want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. But most of all, I just pray that this Christmas you might get it. You might get it. And so that you, like me, can just adore Jesus and just go, wow, thank you, Jesus.